podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, megarockradio.net and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. RudoRadio.com, San Diego, California. Oldiesxl.com in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's a brand new station. They play us on an oldies station at 3 a.m. on Sunday. and of course, xrpradio.co.uk in the Highlands of Scotland. This is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 634. With me tonight are two members of the band Rover. What's up, gentlemen?
Hello.
Hey.
I did recently, if you've listened to recent shows, I said I don't know the name of the city in Scotland. Well, he posted it the other day, and I think it sounds better to say the Highlands of Scotland.
So what was the city?
A little more formal.
I actually, because I was like, nope, I'm not saying that. I don't even remember.
Yeah, that sounded good, though. Highlands.
I also took the owner's face and put it on the Highlander. Yeah. He didn't think it was nearly as funny as I did. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about how I first became aware of you guys. I was driving to Millville Music Festival, and I got a message on Facebook and said, "Hey, I see you don't have any photos to take at 5 o'clock. Can you take photos of Rover?" And I was like, "Who?" And then the storm hit, and I didn't think I was going to get to take pictures of you.
Deutschtown.
Deutschtown.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen.
There's too many of them.
I did take photos of both of them.
Oh, yeah. That explains it. Yeah.
Yes, Deutschtown. Sorry. And I went around the corner, and you guys were playing, and I got the coolest photo, in my opinion. The one, and I'm sorry, drummer's name.
Roman.
Where Roman is playing the bass with his drumsticks.
Oh, yeah. That always makes for a good picture.
I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah, that's a fun trick.
So I believe you guys are from Elwood City. Do I have that correct?
Newcastle.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're all from the area.
So let's start off with a cliche question that you would normally get on an interview. Where did a band name come from?
You want to take it?
Yeah, it came from just when we were brainstorming. We didn't have any really good ideas. And then me and Roman both really liked the song The Rover by Led Zeppelin. One of my favorite songs of all time. And then we just went with that.
Before I forget, because I already messed this up, why don't you guys introduce yourselves real quick and tell us what you do in the band?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Dave Rogan. I'm the lead singer and rhythm guitar player.
And I'm Joe Rogan. I'm his younger brother and the lead guitarist. Missing are Zach Rogers, the bass player, and Roman Ponziani, the drummer.
And that was Zach that was here, right?
Yeah, that was Zach.
We had a very interesting first 15 minutes. First, their mic didn't work, then my mic didn't work.
Yeah.
But anyway, so how long have you guys been playing together?
Wow. Almost. Actually, we missed it. It was 7 years this August.
A long time.
Our anniversary. I can't believe we missed it. But, yeah, that, I mean, it was really unofficial back then. That was just like that August 15th, 2015 was we played like a backyard party at Zach's house. But that was our first show. We count.
That you count? So yeah. What you said?
Yeah, that was our first show. We count that as a show. It's just a, you know, little get together.
Well, I mean, that's kind of this show, the Pennsylvania Rock Show, is going to be, let me do some quick math in my head. 18 years old in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, 630, episode 634.
Yeah, this is 634.
Yeah that's
and
it's a long time.
And that first episode, I no idea that it was going to turn into this. It was a streaming radio station in Texarkana, Texas, that played only unsigned music. It was a 14-year-old kid running it, and he had like 600 listeners at any given time, which is amazing for streaming internet.
Yeah, and back then.
And he had a virus, and he sent me an AOL messenger, and he's like, hey, can you help me out? And so I broadcast it. I didn't even have a mic. I had to call a lead singer of a local band. I'm like, hey, come to my house, bring a microphone. We're going live.
Yeah, that was your backyard party, first show. Yeah,
that was the first show. How did you two get started?
Well, it all started with him and the drummer. So,
yeah, I don't know if they have this where all they have this, but there's in Newcastle there's a thing called the Bargain Bulletin. It's just like wanted ads from the newspaper, pretty much.
Usually, only people 80 and over read it. So,
yeah, I happened to be looking at it when I was 13, and it was like drummer looking for musicians to jam with, and I was like, I called the number wondering if it was going to be, you know, it could have been a 50-year-old guy or a, who knows, but I went and it was Roman and he was my age. And then we put out another ad for a bass player, and that's how we lured Zach in. And then David reluctantly joined us because at the time we were all 14 and he was 21. So, and we were like, please fill in with us, please. We just, you know, cause we wanted to do like a backyard thing at Zach's house. And we were like, just one time. And he was like, okay, just one time.
I thought it was going to be a very temporary thing, but yeah, it was just like, one more show. And then, I mean, 50 shows later.
Yeah, at least.
I know how that goes. That's 633 later.
Yeah.
And 84 on the other podcast and a failed podcast and a live show. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you almost did 1,000.
Yeah, it's hard to stop once you get started.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for sure.
Now we're done with the cliche questions. I'm going to hit you with a PA Rock Show question.
All right.
Okay. So you're leaving a show, and there's a DeLorean sitting there with its door open and a flux capacitor in the back, which means you can hop in and go anywhere and come back, and no one will know you stole it.
I like it.
So where are you going in time, and what band are you going to hang out with while you're there?
All right.
Oh,
you want to go first?
Yeah, I would. It would be nice to not go hang out with, like, I wouldn't want to be getting on a plane with Skynyrd or anything. I would like to avoid any tragic moments, but I would really like to see the Beatles writing. Okay. Did you see any of that documentary, Get Back?
You know, I planned on watching it and then I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it, but it's worth it. It's just a complete fly on the wall view of them writing Let It Be, and I think it would be really cool to be near them for that.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go back to the 90s and watch grunge kind of come out of Seattle. That would definitely be my moment.
That's a good one. I can't remember the episode number, but I interviewed Dave Hillis.
We know Dave.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that he could hook me up with Dave Grohl, but apparently they didn't run together.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew Dave Hillis actually produced the song we're going to be playing on the show.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. We recorded them at the Meat Locker, and Dave Hillis was there for all the sessions and everything. Yeah.
Okay. And Meat Locker is in Butler, correct? Hey, so they're going to try and get their interface working. They'll be right back while that's happening. I guess I will talk about Corbry Woodstock, which is happening this weekend. And also that's CorbryWoodstock.com. It benefits, if I remember correctly, the Allegheny Clean Waterways. That is, you probably don't have much time left to get a ticket. It is tickets ahead of time only. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Perfect. So CorbryWoodstock.com for more information on that show. That is Saturday and Sunday. Also check out Rock for Life's a concert for Anna this weekend as well. You can find that at rockforlifeconcert.com. There, I filled the dead air a little bit.
Yeah.
Save.
Yeah, where were we? I don't remember.
So we're talking about Dave Hillis.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. He was the one that hooked us up with those recordings. We were really, really happy with the way they came out.
Yeah, he was a really cool guy to work with, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually brings me to my unofficial slash official Build the Scene question, which is, who is your Dave Grohl? In other words, who do you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their originals?
Ooh. Current, like still going current?
Listen, you have a DeLorean.
Yeah,
we still have the DeLorean.
See, I asked it in that order on purpose.
I would definitely go try to go on stage with Zeppelin, play a song with Jimmy Page. I wouldn't want to take his place. I'd want to play a song with him.
I don't know. I'd be too embarrassed to go on stage with. I'm not a good guitar player. I think I'm okay at singing, but I might biff it. maybe Weezer, since I know most of their songs.
Hey, let's say you guys are headed out on your first big tour, and for some reason you hire me to drive your tour bus. Don't do that. What would we listen to in between stops? What am I going to be playing on the radio?
It would have to be a wide variety.
If it's accounting for all four of us, yeah, pretty wide variety.
Yeah, if it was all four of us, it's really unpredictable what Zach's gonna throw up when he's DJ. He has wide ranging tastes. I'll give him that. It would probably be on my end. It would be a lot of live Zeppelin,
'90s, anything grunge is my end.
What would you put on?
I could live with both of those, actually.
Perfect.
I'd probably throw some Southern rock into the mix and some metal, but not like, I'm going to take some flack for saying this, but not like the Cookie Monster vocal metal, but like melodic stuff. I definitely like metal, but I'm not a metal head, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. I went through like a big metal phase when from the time I was 13 to maybe 15, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but for some reason, the only thing I listened to was Iron Maiden, and I was like completely obsessed. And then it kind of, I'm not so much into metal anymore, but I appreciate a lot of it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite local bands is the band Skell. I don't know if you guys are you familiar with them?
Yeah, we played with them. I mean, like way before them in the day, but they were on the same stage as us at the band jam last year at Cooper.
Yes. Lake. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love them. They're probably my favorite metal band, like signed or not signed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
Now, this is a little known fact. I do their website.
Okay.
But normally bands come to me. I actually begged them to do their stuff. I was like, but you have to let me.
Yeah, you're a good person to have on their side, that actual fan. Yeah, they were good. I do remember, the name stuck with me. They were great.
Let's see. Hey. A little Tom Hanks here in this question. So you're sitting on a bench and your musical idol comes and sits down next to you. Now imagine that box of chocolate scene where he's rambling. Yeah. But you get to ask that person one question and hopefully have a nice long conversation. What are you going to ask your musical idol?
How did you do it?
get them to go into the whole story with the vaguest question.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good tactic. I've thought about this a lot because it's like, I don't even know what I would say to someone if I met. There's nothing that I wouldn't feel like stupid asking. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I were to meet Jimmy Page is like my top guy, but if I were to meet him, it's like, I don't know what I could really ask him that would not just be like something he's heard a million times. Maybe, I don't know.
I met Gene Simmons at a book signing. Huge Kiss fan.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't get to ask a question because he asked a question.
What did he ask?
So I had a Sony Mavica CD1000 camera. That'll give you an idea how long ago it was. You probably haven't even heard of one.
Nope.
So it was a camera that wrote directly to mini CDs. And his question was, how the hell does that thing work?
A very personal and intimate question from Gene Simmons.
So, but I got to stand there and talk to him. They were trying to usher me off, and he kept going, I'm not done yet.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It was a cool experience for me because Gene wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, that is cool.
But I also was late for work that day. My manager was not mad because it's me.
Yeah. Yeah,
at least back then it was. So I brought up Kiss, and I've been asking this question a lot recently. So Kiss played a show in Australia where they were on a ship in a bay, and there were other boats around them baiting sharks. So they were playing music to sharks. And Metallica has played in Antarctica. What non-traditional venue would you guys like to play at?
Ooh.
The desert.
It's literally anything that you can think of.
I don't want to copy it, but I think that a boat would be like the coolest possible. That's just me, though. What about you?
The summit of Mount Everest.
I don't think we'd fit. I don't know what it looks like up there.
it'd be epic, though.
Are there any flat parts? Because that would be cool.
Yeah, we each get our own ledge.
Who is carrying your equipment up the mountain?
Yeah, that's...
might have to reconsider. If we don't have any roadies, I'm not really for it.
Zach.
Yeah, there we go.
I can't tell you how many times people have mentioned the steps at the Smiling Moose, and you guys want to go up Mount Everest.
Yeah, we were through. Yeah, you do go up Mount Everest when you go up those steps. Yeah.
That's a pretty bad staircase.
Yeah, Zach, the bass player, he had this huge, huge bass amp speaker cabinet that was like, it was like the size of a door, just 2 feet shorter.
It's the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah, it looks
much
like a small refrigerator. And a wheel, he parked about half a mile away from the venue. And as he was dragging it, the wheel broke off. One of the wheels broke off. So then he was half carrying it. And then he had to go up those steps after. And it was probably about 20 seconds till we were supposed to start.
Oh yeah, it was very stressful.
It was as trying as Mount Everest.
Yeah, well, there was one other place we played at that kind of rivaled those stairs. I can't remember if it was like some bar in Elwood City. They had real steep stairs. We had to carry it up the back.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It was carrying any band equipment upstairs is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
This is, I'm gonna say a new question, but keep in mind the show is 18 years old, so new is like within the last couple years. What is the best pizza that you've had because you're a musician? So it's either, you know, you're on a way to a show, at a show, on your way home, at rehearsal, at a recording session, something like that.
Oh, the pizza we got at Jurgles was pretty good. It was real thin, and I was just rolling it up and eating it like a pepperoni roll.
I gotta say, Coca's. You know, you've heard of Coca's?
I have not, but I was just at Jurgles last week.
Oh yeah. Coca's is pretty much, it's similar to Pizza Joe's, but it's more in like Youngstown and Boardman and stuff.
Okay.
And we were planning a thing one time, and one of the guys in one of the other bands worked there, so he brought just a ton of Coca's pizza, and that was the only time I ever had it, and it was good.
So I told this on the air a couple episodes ago, and I got back to them, which was really cool. But there's a pizza truck in this area called Hot Ash Pizza, and they sometimes go to shows, and they have a wood burning stove in their truck.
Oh, that's cool.
They're pretty good.
Trying to think of the logistics of that.
Yeah. It's got to get pretty hot in there.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually have two of them. They have Hot Ash and Hot Ash 2.
Oh, dang.
They have like a big brick chimney coming out of the top of the.
Yeah.
There's... Nice.
So let's see. You guys are brothers, and I'm gonna put you both on the spot here.
All right.
Normally I open this question up as you can do it with anybody in the band, but I'm gonna you're gonna have to do it with each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the question is, tell me something embarrassing that happened while you were on stage, but it has to be something that the other person did, not something you did. Hmm. So how did your brother embarrass you?
Maybe probably just pretty much every time I'm tuning my guitar, he'll harass me in front of the crowd. Like, we're waiting on Joey. That'll get me.
Yeah. Oh. I'm trying to think. I don't get embarrassed very easily on stage. I always expect them to read my mind. So whenever I want to go into something and I hit it and none of them do, I'm pretty embarrassed then.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What is a song that you didn't write that you wish you had written? Says, this is another one of those questions where you're telling me about your influences.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You probably got a million.
Well, one, yeah, there's a lot, but just today I heard A Day in the Life by the Beatles, and I was just like, it's one of my favorite songs by them, but I haven't heard it in a while, and it's exactly the type of song I wouldn't write. Because I can't play piano. My mind doesn't work that way. And it just, they were really, really good songwriters. And I would like to be able to write stuff like that. That's not, like the stuff that I do write. So that's a good example, I guess.
Yeah. I'd say like, Slaves and Bulldozers is one I wish I would have. Yeah. I would have written.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
It's funny listening to you guys answer the questions, because you're staying on the older rock and you're staying in the grunge no matter what I ask.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. I love a lot of the grunge stuff too, but yeah, my mind just goes.
Hey, you can hear it a lot in our songwriting, because I lean more towards a grunge sound, and he kind of leans more towards a 70s rock sound, and I think it's kind of interesting how they mesh together.
Well, and live, at least at Deutschtown, you guys have a 70s band look while you're playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even know how that was always just what I liked and what I wore. Actually, you know, Greta Van Fleet, but, I remember whenever they kind of like first came out, or whenever they were first on my radar, we had been playing for a little while in Rover, and I was wearing that type of stuff on stage, and I was like, you know, this is cool. This is what I like. I was just saying, whenever Greta Van Fleet came out, they were kind of dressed wearing that same type of stuff. And I was like 15 at the time, and I had just kind of started doing that with Rover, and I was like, they stole my idea. Cause I feel like I didn't see that so much back then with like younger bands. And now I feel like it kind of came back into style a little bit.
What is your dream venue to play? Like, if you could play in that one place that you'll be like, okay, I made it. Where is that?
Oh, any arena.
Madison Square Gardens. Just cause the pop culture, you hear about it so much. I think that's mine.
Yeah, I'll concur.
I went on a bus tour in New York, and we're passing Madison Square Garden. I was like, we're going to stop and see the garden. I got excited because first it's huge in the music. It's huge in wrestling. It's huge in hockey. And the guy goes, on your right is Madison Square Garden. And we just kept going. And I was like, but
yeah, it's just normal up there. It's part of it. Yeah.
Tell you what, let's take a music break. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your song, and I'm going to let you say it so that I've become a little gun shy after Friendly Fire.
But Busted Iron.
Busted Iron.
So you say iron. However iron. You say the word I-R-O-N, the song's right. Busted Iron.
Yeah, I'm going to say it, and we'll see if I sound anything like you guys. I say Busted Iron.
Iron.
See, mine sounds like urn.
Yeah, you do have a little more iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't, like, I know it's not right, but it won't come out.
Yeah, it doesn't even sound that weird to me. I think we're close enough to that Pittsburgh.
Well, that's because you guys hear that accent all the time.
Yeah.
When I threw it out at those people in the UK, they were like, what was that word?
Yeah. What is that? Yeah. But Busted Iron, it was, it's probably about 4 or 5 years old now, actually, that we wrote it. But it was one of the first songs we all wrote together, like really spontaneously.
Yeah, like at the same time.
it just happened when we were jamming all together, and almost the entire song. I don't think there was really anything added to it later except lyrics, right? Maybe some.
Yeah, I tend to write melodies and lyrics by myself, so yeah, that probably came later.
Yeah, but it was one of the first few songs we ever wrote. The first song I think we were really all just happy with, and it was the first song we all wrote together.
Cool. Hey, we're going to take a minute and listen to Busted Iron there. I think I got it that time. From Rover, and we'll be right back. And that was Busted Iron. I'm trying so hard. by Rover. If you're just tuning in, you can find them at Linktree/Rover the band. That's linktr.ee/riverTheBand. If you're watching the video, it is right below me. Facebook is also Rover the Band. Is everything Rover the Band?
Yep. Well, yeah, that's all there is.
Most things.
Right, at Rover the Band for everything. Yep.
Okay, cool. Another movie. So the movie Almost Famous. Have you guys seen that one?
I have not.
I have not either.
No.
How about Rockstar?
Oh, man.
Wow.
I think we're both pretty bad at movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so pick one, and then I'll ask the question that goes with it.
Pick a movie, and you ask a question that goes with it?
Out of those two, Rockstar or Almost Famous?
Oh, okay. Almost Famous.
Okay, so the movie Almost Famous is about this kid who's like 15 or 16 who's pretending to be older, and he's trying to become a writer for Rolling Stone. So they send him out on an assignment, and he's on tour with a band. And, you know, so he's in the tour bus, he's at the parties, and he has to write this article about what's going on, and he can't because what's going on won't make the magazine. Mm-hmm. And he needs to make a good article for them to allow him to freelance.
Yeah.
So my question is, which band, again, you have a DeLorean, which band would you like to follow around and write your first article for Rolling Stone about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the ones that I would think of would be like that too. Like, do you know if that was that movie based off anything?
I don't know.
Cause it sounds like there was a journalist that a real young kid that followed around Zeppelin on a tour, but yeah, it's the same type of idea. Like it was just wild and crazy. And yeah, pretty much any band I could think of would wind up being like that.
It would make it easy on you if you picked like a really wild band like Motley Crue or something.
Because then you just have a lot to write about.
Yeah.
So you just brought up another question. You don't even know it yet. Is that who you're going with? Both of you, Motley Crue?
Yeah, I think Motley Crue, because I'm lazy and I want things to be presented to me.
No, I think I would go. I hate to be redundant. I love the Beatles, but I'm not their biggest fan. But I think it would be really cool to be following around the Beatles on their rise, because that was such a big deal. I think that would be cool.
Hey, so I love when bands bring up questions and don't know it. So you guys saw The Dirt, right?
I didn't.
No, I heard a lot about it.
They're pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. Off here and there.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to. It won't change your answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But so years from now, they do a biopic about Rover. Who plays each of you in the movie?
Oh,
that's a good one.
You know, like Machine Gun Kelly played. Tommy Lee.
Yeah. I don't know whoever would be the biggest name at the time the movie comes out, because then that means that we made it, right? The best young actor when it comes out.
Well, I'm trying to think, because he might be too old. I was just gonna say I'll take Daniel Radcliffe, since he's a household name. Everybody knows him.
You would want Daniel Radcliffe to play you?
Oh heck yeah, he's playing Weird Al.
He is.
Is he really?
Listen, he's my doppelganger. See, I have this scar right here. Mine didn't come from a wand, though. Mine came from a driveway.
Oh, less magical.
Very much so. And probably much more bloody. Here's a tip for you. Don't trip in a gravel driveway while your hands are full.
No.
I had my camera bag in one hand and a Dairy Queen Blizzard in the other.
Did you save the Blizzard?
Which one did you save?
The camera worked for a few months more and then stopped working, so I'm not sure I actually saved it. And I definitely didn't save the Blizzard.
And
I didn't save my face. I don't think I saved anything. I didn't break any teeth. Maybe that's a plus.
That's the silver lining. Loss on all fronts. You lose a Blizzard, that's devastating.
Yeah. I went to school the next day, and I had an eighth grade homeroom. The first person that came and looked at me goes, "Now keep in mind, I had a Band-Aid on, but it came down like across the bridge of my nose. Yeah. And she goes, "You look like someone shot you in the head."
Is that what
Thanks.
That looks like? How polite.
Let's see. See, I'm giving you guys a homework assignment at the end of the episode, just so you know.
Watch a movies to watch.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So this next movie is my favorite biopic, and I have to edit the name of it. It was on Netflix. It's not anymore, so it'll be hard to find. But it's called "Who the F Is This Guy?" And it is about, and I can't think of his name right now, but he is the guy who discovered Metallica and a bunch of other big name bands. And it's about his life story. It's a phenomenal movie. He had an alternative lifestyle that at that time, you know, was not the normal. Yeah. And it's just a really, really cool, biography. Yeah. Unfortunately, it has a name I can't say.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a tough question. I apologize ahead of time.
Is it another movie?
No, it is not another movie. So I want you to think about bands that play in the music scene with you. And I want you to build a super group out of local musicians that you would manage. So nobody in Rover can be in the band.
Ooh, that is tricky. Yeah, it's weird because we're like just listening to some of the other podcasts you've done with other guests and stuff. We're not as deeply rooted into the scene or anything just because of the age gap and stuff like that. So there's very few bands that aren't. I wouldn't want to manage someone older than me. That would feel weird. Bossing around.
Yeah, that it's a bit of a strange dynamic with us and the other bands because most of the bands our age or younger bands that we've played with aren't together anymore. So,
yeah, I would have managed. There was a band that was around for a little while. They were like high school kids. They reminded me a lot of us because they were just like playing covers like we did and stuff. They were called Longview. They were from Hermitage, and it was cool to see. And I wish they were still around because I would have liked to help them out. So yeah. I would have managed them just how they were. But
well, I guess I was older than everybody in this band, but they just played their last show last Friday. It was a band called Highland Rose that we've been playing with them for a long time, and they were really good guys. And I think they were all younger than me, but
they pretty much were a super group.
Yeah.
They had a lot of flair, the guitar, yeah. Drum, singing. It was all great.
Yeah. They had a really good stage show and they upstaged us like
every time we played
every them, single yeah. time. It's like, oh man, great. I hope we don't ever have to play after them.
So we'll merge Highland Rose and Longview. That's yeah. really the only,
there we go.
I like it. All right, so this question has a name. Sometimes questions get to the point where they've been asked so many times that they take on a life of their own.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get asked the first time and it become legendary, and that's this question.
Oh.
So it's called the Diesel Beast question. I'll explain that later. But if you could play anywhere in the world, so again, it could be traditional or non-traditional site, with any other band in the history of the world, where would you play and who would you play with?
You know, I've thought about this before, and not specifically where, but who else is at the time. I used to think about it with whenever Highland Rose was around and we were playing with them more. I think I would much rather play with a local band that we play at together with here and then make it like a whole scene rising, like kind of how it was in Seattle in the 90s. You read about a lot of those guys knew each other way before there was any fame. Mm-hmm. And then they were kind of playing on huge tours with each other. So I think something like that would be way more cool than playing with an already established huge band. As cool as that would be, I would love to open for Metallica or something. But yeah. But I think it would be really, really cool to make it with someone you knew before.
Yeah, I concur.
And no place in particular?
It would be, I mean, I would really like to play, I don't know any specific places or anything, but it would be really cool to play crazy, you know, like Japan,
like,
or
the Roman Arena or
Germany.
Something.
That, yeah, right. It would be cool to play somewhere foreign. I would like that, because that also is another decently good indicator that you're,
that you've made it. Yeah. Because definitely in Europe, Europe definitely treats rock and metal a lot better than the U.S. does currently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's – and, like, Brazil, too. They love metal in Brazil.
All right, you ready to hear Diesel Beast's answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
They want to play at Stonehenge with Dio.
That's so much better. Yeah, that's a good answer. That would be cool.
I asked it out of the blue, and that was their answer. I was like, okay, I gotta ask this all the time now, and it's their question.
They must have had that one preload. That sounds like some weird, like, prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Like, I had a dream I was playing at Stonehenge with Dio.
My response was, well, maybe Stonehenge is there so that you can bring Dio back.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to ask the rock star question anyway. You guys thought you got out of it. All right, so that movie is actually loosely based on Tim Ripper Owens joining. Why did I blank on the name of the band? That's terrible. I can't even think of the lead singer's name. This is terrible. Anyway, it's loosely based on a real situation where a tribute band's lead singer ends up singing the band that he was doing a tribute for. Man, I can't believe I can't pull that out of my head right now. Don't get old. I'm Googling and I'm cheating.
I just looked it up. Yeah, it says Judas Priest.
That's it.
He was with Priest for a little bit?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I never knew they had a different singer at any point.
So I'm going to start over now that we're
all right, we've established. All right,
so the movie Rockstar is about Tim, loosely based on Tim Ripper Owens joining Judas Priest, after being in a tribute band that was called Steel Dragon. See, that band I remember. So if you were in a tribute band for whatever band, you'll have to tell me which band it is, and you had the chance to join, would you, or would you step away and say there's no way I can do it justice?
Okay, if you were in,
oh, I couldn't do it anything justice.
Yeah, I think it would be, well, to be completely honest, I mean, I think it depends on a lot of, like, if it's a step up in your, if you're in a tribute band of a band that's not doing very good anymore, but yeah, I see what you mean. Totally depends on who it is, I guess. And I would rather step up than stay in the tribute band, I think, because that'd be cool.
Yeah,
and then you get a biopic made about you.
Well, the band didn't like how the movie came out, which is why they say it's loosely based on.
yeah,
loosely based. They can't do that for the Kiss movie.
Are you talking, which Kiss movie are you referring to?
They made a lot. Oh man, I just saw a little bit of one,
yeah,
and
you
I
didn't
was
know
like,
you were
wow.
Talking to a Kiss fan. You forgot.
Was it Phantom of the Park? Is that the one?
Yes, that was it.
That movie is a dumpster fire.
I had to try to watch it just to see, and it's like, you can't even tell. Like, you can't even see faces. It's so bad.
That's because in some of the scenes, it's not them. Google it. There are scenes.
Yeah, you know what? I heard that they had, like, Not stunt doubles. Yeah, they had just doubles.
Like Ace didn't show up for some of the filming, and they just put somebody in his costume and put him out there.
Well, they went for it. They had a lot of misses and hits when it came to non-musical ventures.
Listen, the Scooby-Doo stuff that they did is better than that.
Yeah. I've seen some of the... Honestly, yeah.
That movie didn't even make it to theaters. It went straight to TV.
That's crazy.
Is that worse than going straight to VHS?
Well, back then, they didn't really.
That can't be a good feeling. Your movie.
I once bought a DVD, and for some listeners, they're not even going to know what that is. But I once bought a DVD of a movie called Halloween, and it's not. Or no, it was Trick or Treat.
Oh.
Because Gene Simmons and Ozzy were on the cover. I never watched it.
Were they in it?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Never heard of that. Wow. That's probably
Trick or Treat.
Yeah. That's got to be a great one too.
Have to look up that one.
Here, I'm Googling it right now.
Oh my gosh.
1986. Trick or Treat is an American horror film by Dave, I can't say that, Entertainment Group, starring Mark Price and Tony Fields, with special guest appearances by Gene Simmons. And I have to click.
Gene Simmons.
And Ozzy Osbourne. The movie centers on a teenager who's haunted by the ghost of his rock hero.
Well, which one's his rock hero?
I don't know. I'm looking.
That's
musician Sammy Kerr.
Oh.
I don't know who that is.
I thought it would be one of them would be his rock hero. That was just my guess. But
yeah, I bought it, never watched it.
I'd like to see the...
And after reading it, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that doesn't...
Still might be interesting to see the dynamic they had together while
they're probably in it for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Probably
Gene actually did act for a while, and he almost destroyed Kiss because of it. Because, you know, they were trying to record and he was never there.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Wow.
During the non-face paint years.
Yeah, the 90s.
But, I'm going to give you one more odd question, and then I'm going to give you two easy ones to end the night.
All right.
Sounds good.
I promise it'll be easy. Okay, so a catastrophic event happens and wipes out almost all the humans on Earth and all but one song from every band. Which rover song should survive the catastrophic event and help repopulate the Earth?
I would say it's one of the new ones we've got cooking that may or may not be coming out very soon.
Can I answer for Zach?
What? Place to be.
Yeah, I was going to say that we wrote, there was one other song we wrote all together at the same time, and it was called Place to Be. We never released it. We played it maybe two or three times live, and it's a very mellow song, but I think that would be Zach's answer.
Good call, yeah.
My answer would be, I don't know. I like Cruncher Block a lot.
Yeah, Cruncher Block is the name of the one that you saw Roman playing drumsticks on the bass.
That's our instrumental that has words but aren't sang.
Yeah, I like.
Okay. Yeah. You can't leave it at that.
I don't really remember how this came about, but we wrote that song. And as we do with a lot of stuff, we kind of workshop, we play it live, and most of the time it's before it has words, and we never put words, we played it live so many times just as a song, and I eventually was like, oh, I'll write words to this song, and I don't know, should I go into the whole meaning of Cruncher Block and all that, or is that a story for another time?
How about it?
Well, I don't. Did you watch Speed Racer? when you were younger?
The cartoon?
The cartoon.
Or the movie?
The cartoon.
Because I've watched both, but...
The old cartoon.
The old cartoon.
Yes. It's been a long time, but yes.
Me and Joe would, we would stay up and watch it every once in a while because we had a DVD set, and Cruncher Block was one of the characters on Speed Racer. And
he was a villain.
Yeah, he was a villain, and the whole song is written about the whole episode with Cruncher Block in it, but I don't know if it's too corny that I felt embarrassed that I don't know if I want to sing this, or if it was just like I got some weird looks from the other guys whenever I would put words to it, and it's like, so let's not. So maybe sometime in the future we'll release the lyric version.
If it happens,
yeah.
We need to do it on my show because you.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I promised you two easy questions. The first one is, where can they find your new songs that are being released same day as the show?
If you go at Rover the Band on Facebook or Instagram, we have links to it at the top of both pages, but it'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, YouTube, everywhere you can possibly find it. But it might be easier to get to it through the link, which will be at Rover the Band on all the social media stuff.
And that links to our link tree.
Yeah, it links to the link tree. And we have a music video coming out that day too. So that'll be on YouTube. The songs will be on YouTube, all that stuff.
We're going to be doing a drawing for that, right? Like the contest, or not contest, but just a random drawing that someone will get.
Yeah. It's not too late to pre-save the song on Linktree, and we're going to be giving away some free shirts on the second.
It's a brand new
people who pre-saved. Yeah.
Brand new shirts, new design, really good quality shirts.
I have to remember on Friday to go grab you're putting the videos up on YouTube, I hope?
Yes.
I have to remember to grab them and embed them in the show notes, which will be on BuildTheScene.com.
Yeah.
So they'll be available with the podcast.
Yeah, that would be cool.
See, that one was kind of easy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's coming up next for Rover?
Putting out more songs.
Yeah. We're going to be in the barn studio recording some demos and hopefully getting them put out there. And we're not going to put out our demos, but get some ideas recorded and hopefully record back. We did some recording at October Studios, and I think we haven't gotten those back yet, but I think we'll probably be going back there for recording some of our other stuff.
More music coming out. More shows. We have show schedules on our social media. We played a lot of bars, but we also play festivals and stuff like that. So putting out more songs, more shows.
Cool. Hey, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me on 634.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Can't miss. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate, review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.